The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike. I have in the studio John Evans, and John is with Action Church. He's with FCA. Most importantly, John is with Jesus, and
praise God for that.
Yeah, not in the death sort of sense.
Now we're in the same room right now, so yeah.
But you're here, and the reason that's funny, and we can talk about that, is the fact that a year ago when you were with me, it was right in that lockdown time, man. Wasn't that not the weirdest time?
Yeah, we were together, but we were not together.
Yeah,
So it's a privilege to be in the same space as you, with Jesus and with you.
Yeah, right.
This is incredible.
I realized
truly incredible.
How I said he's with Jesus, and I thought, no, as a pastor, I've used that phrase in an entirely different context way too many times. But seriously, it is great to have you here with us.
It's a privilege.
I first met you at this would be before all the COVID stuff locked everybody down. It was at UCF.
Yes, sir.
And it was a night I don't think I'll ever forget, because I got to meet Mac, one of your young ladies that was a soccer extraordinaire.
Yep.
And she's been on my show and since that day, and that was really wonderful.
Incredible story of a person really just embracing a platform. Mm-hmm. A platform that has been earned, and then how am I going to steward that? And so she's an incredible story, and we've got hundreds of stories just like that, and not to make that sound insignificant. It's just such a privilege when you see guys and ladies, just like our listeners, not even necessarily young men and women, just anyone in any station of life, mm-hmm. understanding that I am here in this space for a purpose, and God, what do you want me to do? And so it's pretty awesome.
Oh, it's wonderful. And I'm so glad that I had that night, because I got to see so many things. Really, I had not been in Orlando all that long in my second iteration here. We lived here for 17 years the first time, moved to Gainesville for 17 years, and we're back. So that night I got to meet Jeff Duke, another fireball for the Lord.
Yep. Absolutely. Incredible. Dr. Duke is an incredible guy. Hey, let me say this on behalf of the 2.2 million residents from across Central Florida. We're thrilled to have you back. We prayed you guys 17 years in Gainesville. That should suffice. And so now you guys are back. Yeah. Dr. Duke, who is a coaching professor at UCF and from a Fellowship of Christian Athletes standpoint, is our national coach to coaches. Just an incredible guy. What's really funny is if he were on the show right now, and it might be something that you consider for the future, but if he were on the show right now, he would, what I've seen is he's speaking to an audience of coaches, and they'll talk about, man, your coaching philosophies are so cutting edge. And if he were sitting here right now, he would say, it's literally scripture.
Yeah.
Like it's literally, this is what God just said. And guys and ladies in the coaching field are like, whoa, this is amazing. And he's like, yeah, it's from the Bible.
And I heard the same type of thing, John. I was at one of these motivational speakers at a conference years ago. And what the guy, I recognized what he was doing, but nobody else picked up on that. These principles for sales and success, they're all biblical.
Yep.
It's the same thing that Jeff Duke does.
Yep.
But he really did. He came up with that concept that became a book, and he's actually now, like you said, he's doing it on a national level.
So
that
3D coaching.
The 3D coaching, And so that was another part. And then the final thing that in addition to all the great testimonies that we heard that night from student athletes there at FCA, but I got to see your family in action. And that made a lasting impression on me, too,
sir.
Because your wife was right there, and not just your wife, but your children were joyfully. And a lot of times leaders' kids do serve.
Right.
But they don't necessarily serve joyfully.
That's fair.
I think it is fair. I've seen it way, way too many times to know that when you find a man who has led his family in such a way as what you have done, and the kids joyfully are excited to be part of that family. I'm blessed in my own life to have kids that love the ministry. And
yes,
that
sir.
Was something I don't think that happens just altogether accidentally. I know it's the blessing of God, without a doubt. And I've known plenty of parents who really worked hard with their kids, and it didn't turn out that way in the end. But I tell you what, your kids, I know you would say they're not perfect, and I'm sure they're not. No one is. But to see them serve in a setting like that, it made an impression on me.
Well, that's very gracious of you. I appreciate that. My wife, Catherine, and I have been married almost 25 years, and we've got 5 kids, so we're big believers in reproduction. We've taken that responsibility, and here's the thing. Hopefully, our listeners are kind of joking or laughing a little bit there. Here's the thing, going all the way back, and they're now 20, 18, 16, 14, and 12, going all the way back to when they were 10, 8, 6, 4, and 2, we're setting up mobile church, we're serving, and we just began to articulate, even when they were just literal children, that, hey, because we're setting up these chairs right now, somebody's mommy and daddy is going to hear about Jesus. Like, and we just kind of painted the picture of it. It's not necessarily what we're doing. It's the why behind the what. And it's really not about behavior modification with kids. It's about capturing the heart. And God has captured their hearts, and we celebrate them and we honor them. And from an FCA standpoint, we're going to talk about Action Church here in a little bit. But from an FCA standpoint, the joke is that Central Florida FCA is the beneficiary of a 7-for-1 deal. And so Catherine and I and all 5 of our kids are really on mission and to serve at UCF, which we can talk a little bit about again as well. But it's a good time to be a Knight, but it's always the right time to be on mission and purpose-filled for
sure. Well, what you're talking about right there bears just another moment of lingering. And let's go back to that for just a moment, because what you were doing when they were that age, all the way down to 2 years old, like
yes,
you
sir.
Said, it's never too early to begin that process of envisioning.
Right.
And sowing seeds. Now, those seeds are they're going to fall into the hearts of those 2- and 4-year-old children.
Yep. Yep.
And they're not going to look immediately like full-blown fruit that you want to see of
right.
joy and maybe hospitality and all. Not even necessarily friendliness, but those seeds don't stay that way. They grow.
Well, they grow and they germinate. And what we really tried to communicate to our children, again, as young as a kindergartner, is you have a role to play. Our listeners would understand. We've probably all internally struggled with, I'm not gifted for this. I'm not equipped for that. And that's one way that the enemy would try to talk us out of. God just says, I just need your availability and your willingness. And I mean, obviously, we see throughout Scripture, he uses people that we would think, I'm not perfect, I'm not there. God says, I just need an obedient heart. And so we talk with our kids from a very young age about, man, what's the purpose, and what can you accomplish? What role can you play? Now, is it going to be perfect? No, it's not. Is it going to be excellent? It may not be excellent, but the heart is right. It's like Catherine and I talk about, we can fold the laundry ourselves and it will be crisp and well done, or we can ask and enlist our 8-year-old or our 10-year-old or our 14-year-old to fold the laundry. It won't be to the standard, but the heart and the understanding of investing and working, it just begins to be instilled. And then you celebrate the wins and you mm-hmm. correct where you need to correct. And next thing you know, you've got a family on mission, and it's not begrudgingly. Like, I'm certainly familiar with families who, out of obligation, will go and serve, and God can still work through that. But when it's more devotion than obligation, that's when some pretty special things can happen.
And it is special. And there comes what my friend Danny Jones would always call payday. There comes a point where all of that investing, all of the sowing that you've done, and then you see, maybe even when they don't realize you're watching, you see a child grab hold of that, and it's no longer now something their dad or mom had them do,
yep.
but it's something coming out of their own heart, and they do it, and that's payday. When you see it take root in their lives. So I just had to commend you. I think that is an important thing to do, because in commending you, what we're wanting to do is to encourage people who are just maybe at that point right now. Maybe
yes,
they're a little frustrated. Maybe some of our listeners who are listening right now have felt what I felt when I was at that age as a young dad, and we've got four little ones at, you know, around us, and
yep.
you have that feeling that they're always going to be like this. They're all, we're always like time is going to somehow stand still,
right?
And you have forever to impart into their hearts and their lives the things that you want to pass along. And I'll guarantee you, friends, you don't have forever.
That clock is ticking.
It ticks.
Yep.
And in the when you get on where I am now, my youngest is 29. When you get to that point and you realize, well, I hope I did the things that I wanted to do, because number one, they're not at home any longer.
That's right. That's right.
And then number two, they've got children their own age that were the age they were.
Yep.
That you're thinking of in yep. your own mind.
One of the things that my wife, Catherine, and I often talk about is your sole responsibility as a parent. And I know listening right now, we've got parents probably in all stages in terms of young parents, maybe some expectant moms and dads, all the way up to grandparents and great grandparents. One of the things that we talk about regularly is, as a parent, your responsibility is to prepare and equip your child for the day that he or she moves out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to build into them, encourage them, correct accordingly, but build into them and encourage them such that once he or she is gone and now they're a mom, they're a dad, they willingly invite you to be in the roles of or in the lives of their kids.
Yeah.
Because it's not a right, it's a privilege at that point. And so
it certainly is. Yeah. And it's a great privilege. And to be able to do that, my oldest grandson is now 20.
Come on, that's not even possible.
Yeah, it is.
You're too young of a man. Listen, if I'd have known, grandkids are this much fun, I'd have had them first. That's what I always say. But, I mean, we don't have grandkids. None of my kids are married yet,
well,
but it's coming at some point.
It's coming, and that day will be here sooner than you'd believe. But I don't have to. This is the beautiful thing with you, John. I don't have to even encourage you, because you're already doing all of those things that Cindy and I learned. And, you know, sometimes we learn the hard way.
Yes, sir.
And we learn through our mistakes. And friends, if you've made mistakes, it's not too late. One of the things that we did with our oldest back then was we went to her. And when we began to realize areas that we had not done as good a job, or where we literally failed her, maybe we were correcting her with anger and was harsh. And repented to her, asked her to forgive us. She was 8 years old, and it made a huge difference in her life.
So, so valuable for that to be seen and modeled by children. If mom and dad get upset with each other, and everybody, I mean, we're going to have heated moments, we're going to have arguments. If mom and dad get upset with each other, or if mom or dad are being impatient with a child and some siblings, it's invaluable to swallow that pride. Call a family meeting, and we'll call a family meeting. Hey, everybody come to the dinner table. Everybody come to the living room. Let's sit down. Hey, guys and ladies, can I just tell you, I was really short with mom a few minutes ago, and I want to take responsibility for that. And, in, you know, just to really own that, and it helps your children to understand, I'm going to have some bad days. I'm going to have some tough times.
Mm-hmm.
I can take responsibility, and the people around me, the people closest to me, are going to love me and respect me all the more if I take that responsibility and make it right. Lots of times, you know, we're not going to voice things, and then separation. And our pastor at Action, Justin Daly, he says, hard conversations aren't bad. They're just hard. and super valuable.
Mm-hmm. I like that thought. When you look up hard in the Greek, it means hard.
It means hard.
It's just downright hard. But it pays great dividends to do this. And I don't know what it is or where it came from, but there were numbers of years ago teaching that went out that taught a lot of adults in the church that to admit one's own mistakes or errors is to be shown as weakness. But our children would look at that as like, mom and dad are real.
Yes.
And I can be real too, because we all know none of us are without fault. None of us are perfect. We all make those mistakes. But why in the world, a lot of people bought into that, never wanting to show weakness.
That's poor. That's poorly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, in our weakness, God's strength is made known. And so, we should embrace, in fact, understanding that, that the demonstration of vulnerability, transparency, that's where connection really happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's generational. It happens in the workplace. You know, we are impressed at a distance by by these things, but we connect with people up close through their willingness to just be transparent and be vulnerable. And so there's power in that for sure.
Now, your oldest one is how old?
She'll be 20 in a couple of weeks, which, man, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so you're getting ready to go through one of those major milestones.
Yes.
A birth date when they lock in. And again, I did the same thing, but it was with my grandson. But it's wonderful to see them grow up in the love and the admonition of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And then to watch them really mature in Jesus. What a wonderful thing this is, John, and you're doing a great job, my friend. And my guest today is John Evans. John is one of the pastors at Action Church. He's also involved in one of my all-time favorite organizations, and that is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I was with a guy years ago, wasn't FCA per se up in Indiana, but it was an FCA-like organization. And I'm not sure why he never affiliated himself with FCA, but it was called CAM up there, Christian okay. Athletes Ministries. And then when I got down to Florida and in Gainesville, I became introduced to the folks in FCA there. Well, that was a love that never has gone away.
Yes, sir. Yes, and sir. When you said Gainesville, I almost said go Gators, but I was able to stop myself. Yeah. And so as a UCF graduate and the UCF campus director of FCA, I'm contractually obligated to not say go Gators.
Yeah, but you kind of did right there.
I kind of did.
You kind of did.
Yeah, I was throwing a bone. I was throwing a bone to the listeners.
You did. You threw us a bone, and we appreciate it. But all true Gators would know that when you're locked down into that, they would know that, basically, you're just wrong.
And all the Seminoles and the Canes are out there like, wait, we don't even get mentioned. Go Noles, go Canes,
yeah, right.
Go Knights, charge on.
Yeah, I did a recent interview with somebody who was from Auburn, and I said, well, at least you're with the SEC.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's like that. My guest again today is John Evans, and we're going to be back with John coming up in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
You've had this feeling that there has to be more to work than just work. You have a job, but what you really long for is a career, one that makes you feel like you're actually making a difference in the world. At Palm Beach Atlantic University, they understand that your career journey is unique. PBA's Orlando campus offers respected programs with personalized instruction from a Christian worldview that empowers you to realize your goals and career opportunities on your terms. Start your new journey today with Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando at pba.edu. That's pba.edu. Your degree, your way. pba.edu.
In the studio with me today, John Evans, one of the pastors at Action Church. And we recently had in John, and he's part of our special program for VBS, and that is Brother Barry. What a fine guy, man.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. It's so it's interesting. We were talking before we sat down together just about VBS, about kids camp, about what an honor it is, you know, to raise a child up in the way that he should go, and when he or she is old, they won't depart from it. You know, our listeners know, the research shows overwhelmingly that about 8 out of every 10 guy and lady who's listening to the radio show right now that has a relationship with Christ, that relationship was initiated at age 18 and younger. And mm-hmm. so we've got a responsibility and incredible opportunity. Serving as the family pastor at Action, I'm incredibly passionate about our next generation, the team that we get to serve with at Action, Sarah Welday and Chandler Neiman, leading kids and students respectively. It is such an honor that moms, dads of elementary school kids, middle schoolers, high schoolers, that they would entrust us with the opportunity to speak into their lives. One of the things that I really try to articulate with our team is, let's be the voice that we wish we had when we were in that season of life. And sometimes that voice is going to be pure encouragement and affirmation, and sometimes that voice is going to be correction and challenge. But what's amazing is if you never shy away from communicating the affirmation and the support, which is investing in the emotional account, then even when it's a corrective conversation, that's not a withdrawal. That will be seen as an investment too, because I know that he loves me. I know that she trusts me, and we've got the same heart, the same vision, the same purpose, the same. And so super excited, obviously, Vacation Bible School, Kids Camps, Action Kids Camp, Momentum is our student conference. Those seasons are right around the corner, and people that get excited for summer vacations and a more relaxed time. When you're in student ministry, when you're in kids ministry, you get excited about summer because it's an opportunity to really spend some time with some families, for sure.
It is, and I love that. So many churches, like the one we mentioned with Brother Barry and Action Church, being involved as well. You know, the issue that you talked about reaching people before they hit that age of 18,
yep,
that's a number that is not just like thrown out there without research.
Yep.
That number is real, and we've seen the impact that happens. And it seems right now we might be in, you know, a lot of parts of the country, we might be in one of those times where this thing about deconstructing,
yep,
one's faith has been made popular by a lot of people. And I think it's really sad. And it's a sad story, like what's going on with Josh Harris and people like that.
Yep.
But you know what? There's a whole group of people that are going through construction of faith.
That's right.
And I believe that's what happens in VBS.
That's absolutely right. Let's create a fun, exciting, energetic. One of the things that we say at Action is church doesn't have to be endured. It can be enjoyed. We've got the most exciting story to tell ever. And we want children and adults, for that matter, to understand Christ said, I came so that you could have life and have it more abundant, to have this joy-filled life,
mm-hmm,
not this rich life in the way the world determines. Anybody can have a nice car or a nice house. Well, it's kind of hard to have a nice house now. I mean, you could put it on the market and you could sell your house in about 15 minutes.
Yeah,
but
I think
I'm not
you're
sure
right.
I'm not sure you could find another place to live. But that's not what we're talking about today. So, but the whole point is to really pour in,
yeah,
and capture the heart. And then encourage, not again, I just mentioned this briefly earlier. It's not about behavioral modification. It's about capturing the heart and then setting that heart free to just pursue God's, mm-hmm, plan and purpose.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And to watch the kids come in to a VBS, one that is well put together with,
yes,
a lot of decor and decorations. And I know everything you guys do. It's there. You know, when I'm around you, John, I feel like I got to keep up with this man's energy. But you have that impact. And I can only imagine what at Action Church, what their VBS would be like with,
yes,
regards to the impact when kids come in and there's that wow factor for,
yep,
a moment, like, whoa, this is going to be a cool week. And they get to take part in all of the things that I know you've got planned there.
What's really exciting is from the child's perspective, and we've got our Action Kids Camp is June 21, 22, 23. Unfortunately, but excited that those spots are all full.
Mm.
So next year, next summer,
yeah,
for our listeners, you can go ahead. We've also got our Momentum Student Conference, which is middle schoolers and high schoolers. That's July 21, 22, 23. You guys can go to theactionchurch.com and look up Momentum. And we'd love to have your middle school or high school participate. And even if there's a financial issue, we would love to have a conversation if there's something that we can help with there. I say all of that to say, you talked about Vacation Bible School, you talked about a kids camp and the walk-in and the wow factor for the child. What's amazing is the wow factor for the child, the wow factor for the parents. Man, somebody has spent time preparing this environment,
mm-hmm,
for my third grader,
yeah,
to experience God. That's what's amazing on the family's side. What's amazing from my side as a staff pastor and from our team's side is we've got volunteers, we've got A-teamers that every summer, for kids camp, for VBS, for Momentum, they're going to take vacation week. They're going to take a vacation week so they can serve and invest in other people's children.
Isn't that something?
It's fantastic. What an honor. What a privilege. And we're talking about Action Church. Action Church exists to reach and connect people, to reach people right where they are and to connect them to everything that God has for them. And so it's a privilege for sure.
Now, when we talk about just leaving the topic of VBS for now, when we talk about a church that is active, I like the name Action. I think it's true. I mean, you guys, your name has that verb impact.
That's
you
right.
guys, you're
That's
going,
right.
you're doing, you're serving, you're doing something. There's a lot of action that's going on. I think people who are attending different churches who may, that may not be their experience. In fact, it may be rather discouraging to them even to hear somebody, and they're going like, well, yeah, when I hear a guy with that kind of energy like John Evans has, when I see a guy with that kind of passion like John Evans has, then it's understandable. But that really is not the all in all. That, I mean, it does help to be energetic and have all of that. That's wonderful. I wish I had more energy, John.
Come on. As soon as we wrap the show, yeah, you and I will we'll go get a smoothie, and then we'll take a 5 mile. We'll run a 5K. Let's go.
Yeah, right. And I'll let you pull me along in the wagon. Then that's it. No, seriously, I think that what is missing in that look, what's missing in that analysis by somebody who's not doing it is that part that can just happen to us all. And that's what I just love about Action Church. The part that can take it away is that it's so easy in this world, in this culture, to get our eyes off of the Lord and onto the problems.
Yep.
And I think that is the first step into this doldrum type of existence, you know? So we get our eyes off of what Jesus can do and what he said he will do.
Yep.
And first thing you know, we start seeing the enemy being bigger than what he really is. And we see the things that we want. I think a lot of people, this happens to them.
You know,
it looks huge.
Yeah, if I could jump in right there. One of the things that that our senior pastor, our lead pastor, Justin Daly, often says is, it's more spiritual than you think. And someone might say, well, what is more spiritual than you think? All of it. Life is more like we're not battling things that we can see. There is a battle that's taking place in the unseen. And if we understand the opportunity and the responsibility to just say, here I am, Lord, send me. That's when I wake up every morning, man, I'm honestly inspired and encouraged that people allow myself, our team, to just willingly be in their lives. It's a privilege. And it's a privilege that takes some proper stewardship, for sure.
So when they get a hold of that, and all of our friends listening right now who might be in that group, it's possible for us all to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe that's what is the problem. Maybe my eyes are off of the Lord. And that's what a group where it's, you guys are doing it well, that's where it can start to really explode, is when they begin to cry. I don't care where they are or how big the church is or what part of town it's in or any of those types of things. When they get their eyes on the Lord and they begin to cry out freshly to the Lord hears them and their cry.
Absolutely.
The same way he hears you.
Absolutely. It's true. It's true. And so let's seek God in prayer. Let's spend time in his word. And then people ask me all the time, as a pastor that leads middle schoolers, high schoolers, college students, certainly lead the team that leads our children as well. They ask, I don't feel as close to God as I have in the past. And I'll say, okay, well, tell me what characterized your life then. Well, I was attending church regularly, and today Barna would say attending church regularly is like 1.7 times per month. Now, that's not regular.
No, that's not.
That's irregular. But they would say, I was attending church regularly. I was reading my Bible, a couple minutes a day. I'm spending time in prayer, and I was serving people. And then I would say, okay, well, what characterizes your life now? And don't even really have to follow up. You can see that they'll just step back and say, I've fallen off of the disciplines that helped me to feel close to God. And I said, you know, feeling close to God is a slippery slope in and of itself, but 20-year-olds, if they ask me, how can I feel close to God? Really, the practical answer that I give them is kind of a long way to get to it's to serve other people. Man, like, we're never more like Christ than when we forgive, and we're never more like Christ than when we serve others, because Christ came to be forgiveness. He came to be selfless. And so if we can put that on and demonstrate that, and honestly, that's a part of the heart behind the name Action Church. Like, love is a verb. We're gonna attend at one of our, we've got one church with four locations, with Winter Park and Sanford, South Orlando, and Oviedo. We're gonna be at those locations for an hour a week, but the whole thing is to come in, be inspired, equipped, and then to go live sent, go be a difference maker, go, you know, you're called to be a missionary in your third period class. You're called to be a missionary at your Walmart. You're called to be a missionary where your kids play sports. You're called to be a missionary, in your college dorm. You are there for a purpose. And if you can get outside of this is, I'm just existing for me, but I'm existing for God wants what God wants to do in and through me. That's the game changer right there.
You know, all this talk we're having right now happened to me in December of this past year when I was dead sick with COVID. And I'm on the couch and I realized how much, you know, how badly I felt. Number one, I felt terrible. But I was going through a period where I found myself in the very spot that I know better. I spent 36 years as a pastor.
Yep.
You would think a person would know better than what I did. But I realized that in my wife's reading to me something from Paul David Tripp, and he had written this book. It's a wonderful devotional book. But he basically talked about the importance of keeping our vertical relationship. He said, most of us look for happiness and joy and contentment on the horizontal plane.
Yep.
And he said, it's all backwards. It should be on the horizontal, I mean, on the vertical.
Yep.
And once you have that connection with God completely set right, then the horizontal becomes much easier to manage. It becomes in its right perspective. And, you know, John, when I'm there, I was sick and I'm listening to his words, Paul David Tripp's words. Something happened in my heart. And a joy filled me in my body that was sick. And
joy in the midst of COVID.
Joy in the midst. I should write a book called that. Joy in the midst of COVID.
Somebody write that down real quick.
Yeah, it was really just that. And I tell you what, that has been an enduring change. Here we are now in May, end of May, and I'm still feasting on what God did in that one moment while I was that sick, because I, like many others, had gotten my eyes off of the real source of joy that keeps my relationship with the Lord active and keep it going joyfully, and was momentarily, you know, basically having a pity party.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, listen, scripture tells us seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. What things? All these things will be added unto you. What's really interesting, and this is a challenge that that young adults have, that, you know, my wife and I work with young adults, is they're looking for their affirmation and their worth through their peer group. And they'll place more value on the negative things, the negative assessments or valuations that their peers, they'll place more value on the negative things that their friends say than they'll place on the powerful affirming things that God says about us. You are more than a conqueror. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're knit together precisely like for a purpose. But we'll think, you know, this, the tape that we play over and over and over in our minds is the missed opportunity, the disrespect, that when someone tore us down with our word, with their words, but exactly what you're saying, I need to focus first on my intimacy with God. And then it's so simple, but it's so true. Everything lines up from there.
Yeah. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. That's the verse. Most of us can quote it and probably quote it quite accurately, but living it is an entirely different thing.
Yes, sir.
And it's so easy to get our eyes off. And that's what I've loved about getting to see what God's doing and what I'm hearing happen at Action Church and what I know is going on in the lives of a lot of young people that are there. And all I can say is that you guys are doing it, and other people can look at it and say, well, it's because of this, this, and this. But I'll guarantee you at the base of it all, it's because you guys are enjoying an intimacy with the Lord that is significant, and it is spilling over you onto the hearts and lives of people.
It's more spiritual than you think.
It's always more spiritual. I love that. My guest today, John Evans, a guy that, as you can see, it loves the Lord, and I always am encouraged when I get to talk with him, and it's a great day for us all here. Thanks for being with us, and we're going to be back with one more segment with John, and we got to find out what's going on at FCA and at UCF campus, and that's all coming up in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're in tune to The Shepherd.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Such a joy to have John Evans with us here in the studio. And we've enjoyed talking about Action Church, where John is a pastor. Give us the website for that.
Yep, theactionchurch.com.
Simple as that. And so many great things are going on. If you're a young person, or if you have a young person in your home or in your web, they really are probably already heard about that, what's going on among the youth there. But I can tell you there's a bunch of excited for God young people that are attending this. And they're being led, obviously, by people like John on the staff. And it's very clear to see that why they would love you as they do. And they do. Now, we'll pull the camera back, if you will, zoom out on the lens from just what God is doing at Action through you. And then there's this whole other part of John Evans. I don't know how you manage your calendar the way you do, John, but there's this whole other activity that you're doing. You're a busy pastor. You're a family pastor. You've got all of those responsibilities. But then your heart, I feel like you're kind of like the Grinch, because your heart is like three times bigger. You've got this campus at UCF,
yep,
and your involvement in FCA, again, one of my favorite organizations.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about how that's going, and what is now this post, what I'm just excited to say, what might be the post-COVID era?
Yeah, we're knocking on the door. In fact,
we're knocking on the door.
Just today, there's a conversation I saw on Twitter that UCF football stadium is slated to be 100% full this fall.
How about that?
That's hot off the presses right there. You mentioned I'm a busy guy, and I am a busy guy. I joke that my schedule, my calendar, is the bane of my existence. People often ask me, as young leaders, they'll ask, how do you maintain a work-life balance? And I say I believe that's a bit of a flawed question, because everything that I do is really about life. It's not about work. It's about the mission. Now I know we've got some listeners who would be vocational leaders in their respective churches, but I also know that we've got some listeners that are going to be missionaries in the world of insurance sales or food service industry or whatever the case may be. When you're ultra passionate about what you do,
mm-hmm,
it's an age old adage. When you're ultra passionate about what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And
right.
I'm truly, truly fortunate that God knows exactly what He's doing. And then I also serve under a senior pastor, Justin Daly, at Action Church, and a Central Florida FCA director, Wave Robinson, two men who really see the value of me serving kind of in this marriage of ministries. I can serve the local church and families, and also go and equip at the university, and then I can go and equip at the university, and then point those guys and ladies to a connection at the local church, and so it all works just in magnificent concert. I say all that to say, it's a great time to be a knight. Like, it is a great time, mm-hmm, to be a knight. We joked earlier about the Gators and the Seminoles and the Hurricanes and the incredible history, respectfully and rightfully so, that each of those institutions has. But UCF is like the little brother that's on the come up. And right now, it's an incredible time. The national prominence for our sports programs. I have the opportunity to travel all over the country and speak. And what's really funny is I could be in Gainesville or Jacksonville or Miami and mention UCF, and someone would kind of laugh. But if I go to Austin, Texas, or if I go to Detroit, or if I go to Washington, D.C., and I mention UCF, they'd be like, oh, yeah, wow, UCF, mm-hmm, that place is emerging right before our eyes.
It's the biblical principle that a prophet is never honored in their own country.
that's well done. That is well done. Hey, you know, one of the things that really excites me about serving with our student athletes and our coaches, the respective staff, the administrators through UCF Athletics is those guys and ladies, so many of them desperately love God, and they want, even though it's a state-supported university, we're not talking about a Liberty University, we're not talking about a Baylor, two incredible institutions that that have a formal and official spiritual heritage. We're talking about a state-supported university, and people would often push back and say, "Well, how can you, you know, separation of church and state?" And I understand that, but nobody pushes back against being loved, served, and encouraged. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that that our heart for that, the motivation behind that, is a relationship with Jesus. And we've got some athletes, we've got some players, we've got some coaches, we've got staff administrators that they really want UCF to be seen as an athletics department after God's own heart.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
You know, this is the beautiful thing about FCA, that just perennially, it's always there, that the ability that this organization has enjoyed to be on the inside of the school.
Yep.
And the way it was set up, it's just was genius. And the way it was set up, it is self-perpetrating. It is basically, you're run by students and by a sponsor. It's
yep.
a club, and it's a club that has been able to continue to meet even in the most liberal of colleges. It's often one of the most successful groups that you'll find
yes,
on that campus is FCA.
Yes, sir.
And they're doing it, and it's just like a funnel through which the Spirit of God is reaching the hearts and lives of these young athletes.
Absolutely. So we can talk all we want about church participation, and obviously many of your listeners would be deeply committed to church. We could also talk about what it means to worship, and your listeners will understand when I say in 2021, one of the places, probably the number one place that our world worships is at the altar of sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one non-mandated activity on the planet. There's no law, there's no rule that says a child or an adult has to participate in recreational activities, but we go to it because we're passionate about it. And mm-hmm. so if you can leverage that platform and the platform that leaders in those worlds rightly earn, man, the power of their voice, the power of their testimony. I love it when I see one of our softball players, you know, she's going to step into the circle before she pitches, and you can see she's going to close her eyes and lead the team in a word of prayer. Or you can see one of the players on the baseball team, which our baseball team is in the conference tournament right now, before he steps into the batter's box, he's going to take his bat and he's going to draw a cross in the sand. And they're just saying, "Here I am, God, like this is my mission field, mm-hmm. and I want to be you." And it takes a lot of character and a lot of integrity, but it's a beautiful thing to be able to support that.
Do you think that it is maybe the discipline of athletics with some of these young leaders that are great athletes in their schools that turn out to be really great evangelists for the Lord as well? Do you think is there a tie in perhaps the ability to stand alone, as they've had to do maybe for years leading up to that point?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's definitely similarities with the internal discipline that it takes to be great at anything. Will also require, and part of the fruit of that is I'm willing to take a stand. If you want to be a college athlete, and that's the context where we serve, if you want to be a college athlete, that will have meant that you will have sacrificed things
mm-hmm.
that your fellow high school or middle school or club sport athletes, you will have sacrificed some things, and you'll make some different choices. And when you make different choices, you get different results.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is true, I think, off the field. The same thing is true for us spiritually. If I want to be a difference maker, whatever world I'm living in, then I have to live a different life. I'm going to have to make some hard decisions. I'm going to have to sacrifice some things that the world may value, but honestly, eternally, it's really not even necessarily irrelevant. It may be unhealthy.
So basically, when a lot of kids would be playing video games or locked into something like that, these guys were having to go to bed early because they were up at the crack of dawn to run relays or do laps in a pool or get up and practice.
What's really funny, and I'm sure we've got a number of athletes and former athletes that are listening right now. What's really funny is we talk about a collegiate athlete, whatever the sport may be, in the off season, they may not even know what day it is, but during the season, they could tell you that on Thursday at 10 a.m., this is exactly where I'm going to be. Mm-hmm. This is because they live this disciplined and regimented life. That's why, honestly, a lot of employers really look for guys and ladies that were college athletes, because they know that there is inherent disciplines in them. And that same discipline with training yourself, equipping yourself, and taking care of your body, you know, this temple, it's the same thing. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to spend time investing in the most important thing, and that's my vertical relationship. And then out of that, then I'll have an opportunity to pour some things out to some others.
Now, staying with that motif, John, what you've seen and what you deal with on an ongoing basis, because this is what anyone who's involved in any level of schoolwork with students. There, you have kids that are just your favorite. You just love being around them, and boom, they're gone because they've graduated. What are you looking out over right now? What kind of a field are you seeing at UCF right now with the incoming students, and or the students that might have been new last year, now they're coming back for a new year? What's happening there?
Yeah, one of the things that really, really excites me about college ministry in particular, and I've been in student ministry for a couple of decades. One of the things that really excites me to your point is at UCF, it's a global institution.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of lament the fact that every 3 or 4 or 5 years, you're going to turn over an entire population. We're pouring in, we're investing. But what we celebrate is right here in Orlando. The practical example that I always give is when one of our 5 kids, you know, we'll post something on social media about it being a birthday for one of our 5 kids. And within minutes, one of my children, he or she, they're going to get birthday greetings from all over the state of Florida, and then Canada, and then Brazil, and then Germany, and then Mexico. And then like it's literally because these are guys and ladies that
we've spread out,
that we poured into and invested. And then life and God and a degree and graduation and desires has literally taken them all over the planet. And so we say, hey, we've got an opportunity to rightly steward a relationship for 3 or 4 or 5 years. Let's do everything that we can to pour in and equip, and then you go be a difference maker on the other side of the planet, and we'll cheer you on from here.
And these kids are doing that too. They're taking this. There's a young man that was involved in UF, and we've watched him. He left and he's moved into a couple of different places. We've watched his spiritual growth, and now he's moved back into the area again in an entirely new direction. A student athlete that was just a great athlete, but not going to be one that was ever going to be a pro. But taking all of what you're talking about, all that enthusiasm, all that discipline, and he's a success in life.
Absolutely. I thought you were being funny, and you were that was going to be Tim Tebow. We were talking about Tim Tebow. And so there's a student athlete who had he had a pretty good career, and then he went a few different directions, and now a decade later, he's signed a free agent contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah. And it's a perfect example of. There's a sowing and reaping principle involved, and people are like, why would this guy hasn't played football in a decade? Why would he have the opportunity? Well, number one, his college coach, he earned the respect a decade ago or when he was a player at the University of Florida, work ethic, character, locker room guy. And a lot of people are very hesitant to believe that this Tebow experiment will work with the Jags. I honestly would be more surprised than not if it doesn't.
Okay, now there's a lot of people who one, forget his name, but he walked off. walked off the set talking about it because it was like so outrageous that this could be going on. But, you know, Tim is an example. I love Mike Bianchi's article about him. And he said, who can root against this guy?
He legitimately does everything right. Like, what do you want?
Yeah. What more could he do to earn the respect? And yet so many in the world are really not only thinking he will fall, but wanting
maybe,
him to
maybe
fall.
Even pulling for it. Yeah.
And that makes no sense to me at all, because there was a day that we wanted leaders. But I'm grateful that he is an example of someone who is doing exactly what we're talking about, willing to stand alone, willing to say, I'm going to be here for the fight, and I'm going to make it known that the most important person in my life is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's what he does. That's what you do, John. I'm so grateful for getting to know you and getting to watch what God's doing through you and Justin and the other people at your church. And I just want you to know we're praying for you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's a privilege. Thanks for having me today. It's an honor.
Always a joy to have you here. And thank you for being with us today. And friends, thank you as well for joining us. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd.
Afternoons with Mike. Brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.